Radio Arts Catalyst. Sonic inquiries into art and research.
You're listening to a Radio Arts Catalyst audio production. Radio Arts Catalyst is a virtual space for collective conversations, creative expression, and alternative ways of organising. Through the radio, we're embarking on a journey into what radical spaces for individual and collective voices might look like today, and the potential of broadcasting as an ecology of overlapping spaces for listening, mapping, and transmitting. If you enjoy this broadcast, then please consider leaving us a rating or a comment. This episode forms one in a series produced as part of a residency programme that supports early career artists to expand their practices into sound and broadcasting.
Welcome to the Becoming Forest radio episode. Hello, I am Young-Suk Choi. I am with
Tae Yo-hae. Together, we are called Breakwater, a London-based Korean diaspora artist duo.
We are interested in social practices around migrants' lived experiences and community resource building. By exploring and experimenting with counter-knowledge and folk methodologies, we have been running a project, Becoming Forest, which is a collective healing journey focusing on mental health issues of Southeast and East Asian diaspora communities.
This channel is for us to share the complex mental health issues of Asian diaspora, folk healing methods, and comforting songs from different parts of Asia. We are grateful that the very talented radio producer, curator, and activist Kuong joined the force for this radio project. Kuong's practice inquires into cultural identity, movement, site of community, and geographical space.
Hello, I'm Kuong. In this episode, we will sonically guide you through the soundscapes of tropical forests, monsoons, birdsong, and lullabies, combined with a short meditation practice. You will also be hearing an interview with Michael Nagak, a mental health support officer at Kalungan Filipino Consortium, discussing the colonial implication of mental health within Filipino diaspora communities, as well as how we associate sound and memory with the healing process. We recommend you use ear or headphones, as some of the sounds coming out of the left will be different to the right. We also suggest you find a quiet place to listen to this where you are unlikely to be disturbed. Thank you.
Down. Sit comfortably wherever you are. This is a short meditation practice we are going to do together. Let's focus on our breathing. Close your eyes and focus. Take a deep breath slowly and gently. As I count six, please inhale into your nose. As I count six again, please exhale into your nose or mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six, five, four, three, two, one. One more time. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six, five, four, three, two, one. Now, just follow your own counting. Imagine we are in the middle of the forest. Yellow and orange leaves are falling from the trees next to you. A light breeze brings pungent fresh smell. There is near silence, just the rustling of the forest. I am one of the trees in the forest. I grow slowly but strongly. My branches are now tough enough to withhold harsh wind. I feel my roots. My root is growing out of my feet, going into the soil. The thickest part of the root is growing deeper, from the soles of my feet into the warm, wet soil, searching out enough water and nutrition for energy. I go deeper and deeper into the ground. Thin roots grow from the main stem. These small roots stabilize me better while I stand tall. Inside the ground, there is enough to drink, enough to eat. Support other lives near me as they support life in me. Above me, there is a dark blue sky. I open my arms to sunshine, rain, and wind. As I receive all the nutrition from the ground and the sky, I grew more, I make more leaves, my roots are reaching further. Birds and butterflies, insects and squirrels comes to me to rest. They come and go, and I continue to grow and reconnect my energy to trees in my neighborhood. We will become forest together. For Focus on your breathing again. Feel your toes touching the floor. Feel the fingertips touching your hands. And when you are ready, slowly open your eyes.
The one thing that I value within psychosocial studies is that you have to go back to colonialism and how it affects people now and how it affects their mental health as well. What we usually do is emotion-wise, we don't speak it out immediately. So there's a very implicit way of talking about emotion. Sometimes it's rather difficult to name the emotion as well. So I do encourage them, all right, how do you feel? Sometimes the feeling is, in Filipino context, it's very much based on what other people are, you know, the environment in itself. It's rather difficult to really pin it down exactly to, I feel very sad. I feel sad because of my environment altogether, that sort of thing, you know. And when I say environment, it's not only limited to environment here, but also environment in the Philippines. They are always connected to the motherland. You have to make sure, well, I have to make sure that I know what the feeling is here and the feeling in the Philippines as well, because that always makes, that they're interlinked in a way. Why British people, when I do eventually ask them that question as well, it's rather easy because the location is just here. It's easier to, not easier, but I think it's, I don't find it too difficult to pin down the emotion because it's focused in one location. Like, okay, let's pin down the sadness. Where is the sadness? The sadness is actually here and now and direct relationship with the people around them. So I think that's a difference, just location. Again, it's very much, how do you call it? Experience-wise, lived experience-wise for migrants, it's two things, right? It's very much, again, diaspora is not only in location, but diaspora is also in the mind and in the emotion. You get disconnected from your motherland, but the emotion as well, and the experience from the motherland, you get disconnected from that as well. Before Western world came to introduce bone manipulation or immediately resolve a form of fracture, in the Philippines, we have a manghihilot. But the difference with a manghihilot, as far as I understand, is it is always connected to a form of divinity. So, for example, I will bring a story with my grandmother, who was a very known manghihilot at her time. When she practiced hilot in the Philippines, there's always, how do you call it? A holy child, an altar that's set as well so she could see the holy child. So again, this is very Roman Catholic tradition or culture that's been incorporated into Filipino culture, because the reason for that is the Holy Child is not white, he is black. And you could not have a Holy Child in the Philippines. Well, you could, there's a white version, but predominantly it needs to be a black Holy Child to represent Black divinity within Filipino culture. And we, and she would provide offerings as well to the Holy Child before she performs healing. So in a way, offering is very much within our culture, offering to divinity, offering to the gods. In a different context, we adjusted it into so-called Roman Catholic, but underneath it, underneath those images, is still very much indigenous Filipino folklore. So Kilot is something that I grew up with, and again, it's merging the East and the West in a way. I've mentioned already, you know, Roman Catholic merged with indigenous culture. So that's a merging of East and West. But as a child, if I had the common cold, my mother would bring me to a Western doctor or a Western way of treating colds, which is going to the doctor, get your cough and cold syrup. But then my father would bring me to my grandmother so that I will have Hilot or massage therapy. And it's those ways of merging these cultures that I find very therapeutic as a child, because I think there's already a research now that Hilot or massage therapy actually activates particular happy hormones in the body. And that in a way is very healing, and it boosts the immune system as well. But we don't need this research. I don't need this research because I grew up with it. You know, the evidence is there. My own lived experience. I know that it works. I don't need the research. So that's where I'm coming from with regards to a cultural way of Hilot and merging the East and West way of forms of healing. The Mangi Hilot, when you go there, you do not only just sit down and say, I have back problem. You have to tell your Mangi Hilot what's your history. So in a way, you're telling your problem to her. So in a way, she is your therapist. Because she could not perform the ritual in a way without her knowing what's going on in your life. Because your back problem is not... It's not only a body problem. Then she would ask, what's your work? What is your diet? You know, how could I help you afterwards? So it is not really limited. So she gives you, or he will give you, immediate healing. But then at the same time, she may be able to say, well, you know, you're sitting 8 hours a day. Maybe you should stand up for a while. Or maybe you're eating this sort of food, so maybe you should make sure that you're not eating too much of this because it's not good for the bones and that sort of thing. So, and that is there an interaction as well with this healer. And then if she asks you to come back for another month so that I'll be able to see where you are with your healing process and able to support you if needed. So... And we don't have that now. A form of healing that we are brought up, obviously, that we have different experiences to what we think as healing as well, right? So for me, it's very much, if I'm if I did on Hilot, I know that it works, and there's a performative way of healing as well that it incorporates. But there are different ways of healing, like cooking as well. That's a form of therapy, you know. Scents and smell and taste is a form of therapy. And the one thing that, and I do enjoy my cooking as well, and I do tell my husband that I zen out when I cook. And he doesn't, well, he does understand now. I do the ritual almost every night because I grew up with home-cooked meals and I could not have takeaways. And I cook Filipino food almost every single night in our household. And he enjoys it. And I'm glad that my husband... plus, at the same time, the one thing that I also love to do in connection to personal healing is trying to tweak with regards to aromatherapy, because I love scents, very much love scents. And the one thing that I always use is my lemongrass aromatherapy oils, and I put them on diffusers as well, because as soon as I smell them, I'm back in the Philippines. I'm back to my father and mother's kitchen. It's that scent, it is that makes me happy as well. So these are the things that I could still do in London at the moment, but it's like my own little, and in our flat, it's, I'm in London, but in my mind, I'm back in the Philippines when I smell these things, when I perform these things, I'm back there. So again, it's a form of therapy for me that works. It works for me. Philippines has been colonized by the Spanish for 333 years. So sadly, our indigenous culture has been, it has been forgotten. It still exists, but it's not on the mainstream. So I was brought up with Roman Catholic hymns and chants, in a way. And yes, it helps me because when, again, it's a collective way of healing. When you go to Sunday Mass, when you hear the prayers, the chants, and the incense, you know, again, take away everything on paper. At the end of the day, it is a form of healing, a collective way of healing. Right? It is not in Spanish, it's in the local dialect of Bisaya. So there's always a connection of people there. Then pray and we sing in our own local dialect as well. So that's the only thing that I could connect with regards to what exists now in contemporary Filipino society. But the one thing that for me I find really healing with regards to sounds are pure nature sounds, because it reminds me of my own childhood and the fond memories growing up with these sounds, and it taps immediately to that part of my brain that says this is a very happy memory. For example, the cooking of the frogs during wet season, that's a lullaby for me at that point of my life. I love going to sleep with frogs croaking. So, and it immediately brings me back to, it's the rainy season now. Then you go into the sound of the cicadas and buzzing of the dragonflies during summer season. Again, it taps into the happy memory within my childhood, wherein I know that it's very hot and I'm not supposed to go out and play because you know, during very hot weather, the cicadas would just be chirping away. But then I also know that when I hear dragonflies, I know that I'm allowed to go out and catch dragonflies everywhere. So these are the sort of things that bring so much happy memories to me. And sometimes I couldn't even understand, even my husband would think that I'm a little bit weird when I hear thunder and lightning here in London, and he gets scared, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so exciting, I love it, I'm back in the rainforest. Those are the things that I really enjoy, these very natural sounds. So yeah, again, it's very, very much connected to happy memories in childhood. I am involved with in Kanlungan, a charity that is based in London, who provide different forms of psychosocial support to Filipino migrants here in the UK, is to provide immediate avenue for Filipino migrants and their families as well. Wherein during the lockdown, we still have an avenue to talk about your different forms, these different forms of anxiety and frustrations. So we provide, you know, one-to-one interventions when individuals do need these interventions as well. So we will be able to sit down, even through phone, and being have that honest conversations and where they are with regards to mental health, with no judgment. So this is very much a space for Filipino migrants just to say, this is what I'm going through. And as a response, it's accepting. It's very much an accepting space to say, yes, you know, you are in a very difficult situation. Yes, you are going through anxiety, frustration, and depression at this point. But not giving them any form of solution to their problem. It's very much active listening, acknowledging the pain, because the first step of healing, either individual or collective, for me anyway, based on my own experience, is you have to acknowledge the pain first. If you could not acknowledge the pain, then what form of healing could, you know, it makes me question of the amount of healing that you could apply if you do not even acknowledge the pain. So that's one thing that we do in Kanlungan with regards to interventions. And we also now on weekends run different mental health awareness workshops. So this is community-based. It's in a group of usually 20 to 30 people, wherein the participants and our members would learn something different, but it needs to be culturally specific for Filipinos. So that there's no culture gap. We already live in London. You know, we live in a world wherein predominantly it's quite alien to us to a certain degree. So that when we provide our workshops with regards to mental health and mental health awareness, we need to focus on, right, this is Filipinos, and this is how we're going to deal with our own way of mental health issues. So these are the things that we constantly do in Kanlungan since the beginning of the height of the pandemic last year. We're still running it at the moment. So yes. Made me think about, again, diaspora is not, again, with regards to scattering, the family is not scattered in a way. I'm thinking about Filipino domestic workers, you know, the women who have left their children to come to the UK for livelihood. The diaspora has a massive effect on their family. The children particularly feel insecure, and there's this self-doubting with regards to, why would you leave me here to go to somewhere else so that you could look after someone else's child, and you're leaving your own child in the Philippines? Who's gonna look after me? The implication of that with the child's development is massive. It doesn't stop with regards to insecurity, because you could, you know, again, it's a very subjective experience. But again and again, women need or coerced to leave the Philippines, you know, to migrate. And it's predominantly women as well, huh? At this point, regardless, even if you're a nurse or a domestic worker, I think predominantly it's women who work abroad. And it's heartbreaking because families are scattered. And then what do we have then? Do we end up, and sadly, I hope not, with regards to having intergenerational trauma because of diaspora? And this is, again, what capitalism is doing to a lot of us at this point in our lives. So it's a sad reality, but hopefully we will be able to find ways wherein you could intervene and help these families as well within the Filipino community.
Meditation number 2, Moss. Wherever you are, just take a moment to get comfortable. Close your eyes and relax your shoulder. Relax your jaw. Relax your fingers. And relax your mind. Let's focus on our breathing. Take a couple of nice deep breaths, slowly in through your nose and out through your mouth. It's okay to make a sound of exhale, like as you breathe out. As I count to 6, please inhale into your nose and hold your breath for 2 seconds. As I count 6 again, please release through your mouth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, hold it, exhale slowly, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's do that one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale slowly. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now do it with your own rhythm a couple more times. Now, I invite you to imagine something together. We are mindful of our imagination. We are shrinking so as to be tiny, nearly invisible. Like a speck of dust in the air. Imagine we travel into this small pocket of moss we've seen earlier. There's a little forest inside. These are the most simple plants. They only have a stem and a leaf. No flower, fruit, or seed. Not even root. They are small because they don't have a support system to hold them upright. If they have lived on longer than any of all these trees and rocks, thriving on Earth 470 million years. Yet they support each other so tightly, and they support other trees, seeds, ants, and numerous plants. Life attracts life. They can live in every ecosystem on Earth. They can make their snug home in any crack, in brick, box, cement, bark, sub trees, even in the desert. They seem to disappear in the summertime, but they always come back to thrive in winter. They live on the boundary between air and surface, and they can control the boundary. The delicacy, collectiveness, and resilience of moss. Imagine that we can listen to their breathing. We look around inside the forest of moss. We walk, take a rest, paying attention to small things. There is a different smell, motionless air. They're quite singing. We will become forest together. Let's begin to return to our original size. Focus on our breathing again. Feel your toes touching the floor. Maybe a carpet like moss. Feel the weight on your feet. Lift your chin to stretch your neck slowly. Rotate your head at your own pace. And when you're ready, slowly open your eyes.
Yeah.
Gulagi chacha. Uri agi kundungagi. Koyo koyo chandunda. Padugido chichinara. Kopsuagi chankela. Usekumu tampuga.
Radio Arts Catalyst is produced by Kitty Turner with sound design by Laurie E. Allen. Arts Catalyst is a visual arts organisation based in Sheffield, South Yorkshire. We produce artist projects, public programmes and research that explores the connection between art, health, ecology and economics. If you'd like to find out more, then please visit our website on www.artscatalyst.org. We would like to say a special thank you to artistic mentors Annie Jael Kwan, Evan Ifakoya and Resolve Collective, who led the first Artist Residency and School of Broadcasting programmes. Special thanks also to resident artists Ashley Holmes, Breakwater and Kwong Pham, Kajal Modi and Yusuf Agbo Ola, as well as the participants who took part in the School of Broadcasting. SADACA, Migration Matters Festival, Sheffield Hallam University and the University of Derby are all partners of Radio Arts Catalyst. Radio Arts Catalyst is supported by Arts Council England with Art Fund and the Sheffield Church Burgesses Trust.